Welcome back, sports fans, the Nerds Who Live podcast. I am your been on hiatus host, Nicholas. And if you're tuning in, thanks for tuning in. And sorry, it's been a while. There's been a lot. Life is a lot. And it's been really hard to come back and bring you something when I really didn't know what to bring back. I felt I've hit as far as I can go with my show. I tried everything from interviewing different lifters to bringing on a co-host, continuing to bring on different lifters from all over parts of the country and the world even. And it was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it immensely. But alas, powerlifting was not a sport that I could continue to do, unfortunately, compete-wise. I love powerlifting, the sport, for the sport itself, for everything that it did bring me, all my friends, making this show, all the experiences and people I got to interact with, train with, spend time with. Thank you, all those people who you are. I have a lot of good things that came from the sport. And again, I made this show out of it. And it's something I'm immensely proud of. And I continue to be proud of. I wanted to be competitive. When I first got into it, I wanted to try to be competitive, a competitive lifter. And I had to come to grip with, you know, the terms of reality that I'm not genetically inclined or gifted for powerlifting. And I tried, though. And, I tried. I did what I could. I made progress. And, you know, as for the title of this episode, I hopped on gear for it. What you notice is the title of this episode is, you know, Life After Gear. What happens after you stop PEDs, performance enhancing drugs? This came from, I had shared a clip from the Table Talk podcast. And, you know, there was a clip on there that I'd shared, and the gentleman, you know, he had asked, you know, are steroids, PEDs, addictive? And the gentleman on the Table Talk podcast from Dave Tate said, he's like, psychologically, they are addicting. It's true. And I shared that and said that I can attest to this. And one of my, you know, good longtime friends and, you know, fellow lifter and, you know, just overall good person and friend had responded that this would be a good comeback episode for me, even if it's the last one. Because unfortunately, this is Nerds Who Lift. I really don't know what direction to take with this episode after, if there's no lifting. I've stepped away from competing. I stepped away from, you know, doing gear. I obviously still train because I love training. It is a mental health therapeutic activity and something that is a tenet of my life that I very much cherish and I hold very dear, is that training of any kind, lifting, martial arts, is important for you, for your soul, for your mental capacity. And I'm a strong believer in the tenet that every person, a whole rounded person, a renaissance person, should have multiple outlets. There should be a creative outlet, a physical outlet, and then, you know, sub outlets of, you know, of your mental outlets, or spiritual outlets, kind of however you interweave those outlets. It is important to have them. You have a professional outlet. You have a, you know, something you do for yourself that's creative and something that's physical. And again, those can then start to be interchangeable. So for me, training is one of those. Specifically lifting, specifically martial arts, which I still love. And those two things have been there for me in my life and have been pivotal in all the personal development that I've been able to make and the progress from that development that I've endeavored in. So to the title of the episode, Life After Gear, Life After PEDs. Last November. So over a year now was my last meet, and I did the WRPF Nationals in Las Vegas. I didn't do anything, you know, impressive to speak of. It was one of the, you know, my highest total for sure. But that was it. That was my last meet. And that's when I kind of decided that, you know, I don't want to keep doing more gear to try to get stronger. You know, I was working on an uphill against my genetics, just something that I'm not naturally a strong lifter. I became a very good technician, and for my namesake, I became a nerd about lifting. And again, something I love to do. But, you know, I realized I'm not going to get a lot farther in the competitive area of it. And if I can't do that, you know, it's hard to, I can't coach somebody, because people only coach with people who they're impressed with. You know, I saw it all throughout the sport. People, no matter how good you know your shit, unless somebody big vouches for you, you know, or you yourself do something impressive, no one cares to work with you. And if they do for a little bit, once they get on the roster of someone who's a bit more impressive, like, oh, I train with this person, I train with that person, they're not going to care, you know, and that's the reality. So it's like, if I'm not going to be, you know, succeeding and competing, you know, I kind of need to step away. My life also changed. I survived a car explosion, you know, so it was a near-death experience for me last summer, and really messed with me. I moved quite a few times. I've been, I technically still don't have a place of my own. You know, I basically bounce between family and, you know, and other places to stay. And while I'm, you know, still keeping up with my job. And all that led to a lot of anxiety. Luckily, I've been very open about my mental health struggles and my advocacy for therapy. And luckily, that's been a lot of help. But it still was a lot. And I found my blood pressure being very high, chronically high, you know, 160 over 100, blah, blah, blah. And I was anxious and I was feeling it and I didn't feel healthy. I didn't like the weight. You know, it's like once you stop training, like the weight that I was holding on to, like I just wasn't feeling healthy. I wasn't feeling good. I'm anxious, depressed. The accident really fucked me up mentally, became very dissociative. I didn't feel like I could operate in the world like I used to. I still don't. And I've worked really hard on trying to redefine those things for myself. And it's not been easy. In all that, one thing I found was, again, my blood pressure was getting high. I was having this anxiety, and I started really worrying about that. And so I made the decision to come off gear. Initially, I took a break for a little over a month. And it was super hard. I hated it. You know, I felt horrible, just was depressed, irritable. And so I was like, okay, I don't want to feel this way. And so I decided to get back on, but I was going to stay at like TRT doses, which is essentially like 90 to 100 milligrams a week. That's it. Which is very low. And even in that Table Talk podcast reference I said earlier, the gentleman actually mentioned something like that. Like, you're going to feel horrible. You have this hormonal shutdown. You don't have access, you know, testicular access, and you don't want to feel that way. So it's hard to stay off or want to come off, you know, and I'm still not sure if that my whole blood pressure and everything was strictly from my anxiety and not just from me having extra weight, you know, on that I was carrying from being depressed, not a lot, but more than I wanted, and the fluff that came with it, you know, and as you're a little bit heavier, your blood pressure goes up, and then add anxiety on top of that. So, you know, I added the TRT doses back in, you know, and kind of felt better, but still, with being very much displaced, not having a home, not really being sure what's going on with work, with, you know, losing a hobby, you know, that I would focus on for the most part, not being able to train regularly. Again, it led to it. And I still felt like I got some grip over, you know, my health, but I was still concerned for it. And so I made the decision to finally just go off, you know, completely, and that maybe that's just what I needed to get back to just a healthy state. And because there, you know, there is blood volume when you're on, when you are cycling, you are getting a higher, you know, higher red blood cell production. So higher blood volume, which also makes your blood pressure go higher because you have more blood, you know, pushing against the vascular walls. And then when you add anxiety or anything else on top of that, you're doubling down. And at 33, I didn't want to be putting myself in a precarious potential health position. When I've always wanted, I lifted to be healthy. I even started competing because I wanted just something to focus on, to get healthy, to get strong, not something that's going to, you know, make me weaker and start to pull away. And even when I was doing gear and cycling, I never went very high or hard. You know, I always stayed really low. People always told me, like, you don't do that much. I'm like, yeah. I always said, you know, minimal amount for maximum efficacy, which is the ideal spot to be in. But, you know, even then, I went 3 years without doing any, like, off-cycling. Because I kept so low all the time and would lower it on, you know, off-season that I didn't feel like I needed to. And I liked how I felt for the most part otherwise. But, you know, it wasn't working. So I stopped. You know, I did taper off it in cold turkey. But over the past several months, it's been a very much a horrendous ride. I felt horrible by myself. My body dysmorphia wanna just run ravaged because I don't have anything for self-esteem to cling to. Your body changes. You lose, you know, some of that size. You lose your strength. People do notice. So it's like, you know, everything you build all of a sudden just goes away. Sad. Maybe not all of it, but a good portion of it, which it's noticeable. And it's, you know, just maybe kind of embarrassing. It's, you know, people look at you differently than what you were, you know, or perhaps you just perceive it differently because you're more sensitive to it, because obviously you're fucked up inside because you miss how it made you feel. I loved feeling strong. I liked being big. Everyone wants to be jacked. Like, I never cared to be shredded or super aesthetic, but I liked looking strong and capable. You know, not looking like chubby or anything, just having a good, strong physique. I've come to grips that I'm still stronger than like 95% of people, just maintaining. But it's been hard. My body dysmorphia went rampant. Strength goes down with traveling so much for work and not having really my own place and struggling and worrying about all these things. Not having consistent training regimen. I just train when I could and, you know, having to augment sometimes when I can't get to a gym with like kettlebells and body weight. And just still because I don't have a progressive load and progressive programming, I'm holding on to extra weight and fluff because I don't have testicular access because my body's, you know, I don't have any more testosterone at the moment. I'm going down and, you know, into this Mayday zone to allow my body to be like, oh shit, we got to kickstart. You got to revamp it up. And fuck, man, it sucks. It really sucks. It feels like shit. It's like, it's not comfortable. You're not comfortable. I'm never comfortable. I mean, it's starting to maybe get a little bit better, but, you know, it's to not be on a program, feeling like there is no light there. I feel like my body is messed up. Like, I feel like I'm not going to be able to, like, shred this extra, like, weight that I'm holding because I'm not strong enough to maintain. And, you know, like, a powerlifting program, I'm not going to, like, I'm not able to get to the gym enough for when I do go. You know, it's pretty short time. So, I don't know, it's just, it's a very lost feeling. So, yeah, PEDs are addictive, psychologically. I wanted, you know, I agree with, and I forget his name, who Dave Tate was talking to on the table talk, who said this, and I apologize. I should have maybe done my homework and looked up his name again. But it is psychologically, it's addictive. It sucks to be weak. It sucks how our society sees you when you were, you know, one way, not another, you know, and now I don't look as good. I don't feel as good. I'm still training and I'm still really working to try to get back. And I, you know, my training looks different. I've, you know, try to add more athletic and explosive training, you know, again, still lifting heavy, but more for, you know, in a certain conditioning sense. I usually play with the cluster sets, which is the rest time. So like short rest time, or, you know, every minute on the minutes, or just, you know, doing circuits, you know, so like I supersetted deficit deadlifts, conventional deadlifts with medicine ball slams today. And then, you know, superset, dumbbell bench with rows and, you know, did some jump rope and some, you know, burpee sprints to finish off, stuff like that. That's kind of what the training's been looking like. So, because I'm just trying to get stronger, maintain what I am able to maintain, which is really sad, you know, like 3-plate squat, 2-plate bench, and, you know, 4-plate deadlift. That's kind of been my general, kind of, you know, like, I guess you say guide of maintenance. If I can still do those things within those ranges, I can start to build back, you know, get my diet under control. Now I have a little bit more regular living situation currently. So just training regularly, having a training regimen that is, you know, again, has a rhythm and a consistency that I can slowly start to, you know, have a linear progression with. You know, that's all I can really do. You know, those who know me know that I do love to compete in things. So I obviously now do competitive axe throwing and I'm really able to get pretty decent at that and continue with that. And that's been nice to have like a physical skill based, like competitive sport that I can do. I can do, you know, it doesn't take anything physically away from you. So I can do competitions multiple times in a week, you know, and it's all good. So that is fun. And I do love it. It's a great sport. I highly recommend anyone to do it, especially lifters, because since it is a skill-based sport, it uses your brain. It is a physical coordination-based endeavor that you can do that will not take away from your lifting, because it is not physically demanding. It's fun. It's a good way to, like, you know, just, you know, do something like challenging and competitive, but yet will not take anything away from your, if actually is great active recovery, because, you know, you're going to throw, going to walk back and forth, retrieve the axe and do it. And then you go back to focusing on your, you know, on your same cues and set up the technique just like you would in a lift. So it's, I think it's a very good compliment for lifters for as an active recovery hobby. So if you haven't tried it, I highly recommend trying it. But anyway, so that's what I do now to satisfy that competitive itch. There's leagues and competitions for that. But again, I still love lifting. I still love training and I still love being healthy. And that's been my goal. So yeah, life after PEDs is fucking sucks, guys. It's hard. I don't like feeling that way. And I'm really hoping, I think I'm about 20 to 22 weeks fully off at this point. So that's about, November, December, January, February, March, April. Oh, yeah, I'm about 5 months in. And I think training's starting to come back around. So I'm really hoping that that means that my hormonal production is starting to kind of kickstart again. I'm starting to kind of come, hopefully, light at the end of the tunnel, because it was tough there for a while. It didn't feel like there was a light at the end of the tunnel. I just felt depressed. On top of the mental struggles I've been having since the accident and since being displaced, it's been a lot. I tried keep finding outlets to keep me busy, whether it's music or throwing or just trying to, learn some Olympic lifting or do martial arts again. Whatever it was, I just tried to keep myself busy because I would find myself very much disassociating, breaking off, not feeling good about myself or what I'm going to do with my life. And, I loved being on gear. I'm not a naturally strong person. I never was an actually strong kid. Strength things didn't come easy to me. So being able to be strong and build that is something I loved. I loved doing it. I loved powerlifting. I loved competing. People have asked if I'd compete now. Natty, and frankly, I don't want to. It'd be hard because it's not going to be as good as what it was when I was running. So it will then factually be less. And I don't know if I could deal with that. I know I'm off gear, but go and do something and struggle with weight that would have been my warm-up or first attempt, before. And then if I pull up open powerlifting only to see those numbers and see the numbers again and they're lower. I don't know. That's not that's a mental horse pill that I haven't been able to really swallow. Or can see myself swallowing. I miss it. I miss competition. I miss meets and I miss the camaraderie. I miss training for it. I don't miss the drama. I've still been out of the loop, but still semi keen on the USPA drama and other drama that's been going on. I still try to check in and be in the loop. So, I don't miss that. But I do miss all of you. I do miss my show. I just don't feel like I have anything to give. So this is my last, maybe my last. I've been saying for a long time that it's always just on hiatus because I haven't been able to figure out what I'm going to do. I wanted to make something out of it. And nothing really came for it. I feel like I gave a lot of myself to the sport and trying to be a better lifter, a better competitor, and then with the podcast here, and nothing really ever came back from it. Nothing really ever came of it that then affected my life in more substantial ways, unfortunately, and so with that, I'm not sure. This could be my last episode. I love having a podcast. I love having a show. I love all that came with it. And I don't know what will come next, honestly, guys. But I did want to share this experience that if you were a lifter and you do want to decide to go and run gear and PDs, in a lot of ways, it's great. As long as you don't abuse, use too much and just, fucking slam gear and think it's going to make you stronger. It won't. Because I didn't. I ran for 3 years. And I never got that strong. I really didn't. People took way less than me and got stronger. And some people who never took any and still were stronger than me. So it's not a guarantee that you're going to get stronger. Even if you eat right, you have good training. At the end of the day, genetics are genetics. And people want to say the hard work beats out talent every time. And that's true, but hard work will only beat out talent to the capacity that your body can handle. And what sacrifices to your physiology are you willing to make? So yeah, running gear is great and fun. Just be realistic about it and know, yeah, when you come off, there is a hell waiting for you there. And I'm hopefully at the tail end of it. I can't say I'm out of it yet, but it's been tough. And, you know, again, I love the sport. I love all that it gave me. I love what it taught me. I love all the people I met. All of y'all who do listen, sorry if this isn't much more exciting or interesting. It's like I said at the top of the episode, I did not like the idea of my physiology turning against me and really starting to beat it down for something that's not even giving me that much back in my life. It's not paying my bills. It's not keeping the roof over my head. It's not, you know, anything like that. And, you know, blood pressure, you know, along with many other things are, you know, silent killers. And, you know, I had to really reevaluate my life and my identity. And I'm still working on that. I definitely haven't figured it out. But it did teach me the joy of lifting, the technique and the art of lifting. I can now lift with better form than 98% of people now for the rest of my life. And as long as I can stick with it and get with the programming, I know I'll be good. So I'm really proud that I have that. And now I'm hoping to kind of, you know, get my, I am feeling like my blood pressure is now under control out of these, you know, 20 whatever weeks. I still have my anxiety and the depression that comes with it, which doesn't help that. But at least to this point, I know it's between, you know, the weight, just kind of getting myself leaner. Now that I don't need the extra size for lifting, I want to get it, you know, leaned off. But of course, with my hormonal imbalances, it's been hard to get it off. So it's a challenge in itself. And like I said, I'm hoping to find a new balance. I'm really hoping to find a new happy point, homeostasis between training heavy like I like, training to the capacity I'm capable of, and then being healthy. Not worrying about my blood pressure, but being actually in great shape. I just want to be in great, healthy, strong shape. When I have that, I at least feel better that my mental health will follow. And then when my mental is good, you know, then I know I can try to take on my life and do whatever needs to be done to do what's best for my self and my reality. So that's where I'm at. Anyways, I'm gonna let y'all go. Thank you for tuning in. Sorry again if it's kind of a downer of an episode. If you've made it for these, you know, 30 some minutes, I appreciate you. If you ever need someone to talk to, I hope you know, please reach out to me. I'm at least someone who will at least listen and understand and help any way that I can. Just hold space and hopefully, you know, direct you to find some help, because therapy is great and I've been very thankful for it, and it's guided me very far in so many ways. I'm still a work in progress, as we all are, but so much farther along than where I would be without it in the same situation. That would be a scary thought. So y'all stay good, be kind to each other, you know, and remember that we have a lot more to life than one or two things. And we are more, you know, we have so many aspects to ourselves. Like, love your hobbies, have all these outlets, have your creative outlet, your physical outlet, your, you know, mental space, your spiritual space. Like, you are all these things, and you are a collective of these, and not one of these things makes you alone. So remember that. And I hope this isn't the last episode, but if it is, thank you so much for 3+ years that I've been able to keep the show going, to some extent. And I love it. And it truly has been a proud moment of my life and a piece of pride I'll be able to take with me, you know, for the rest of my life. So thank you for all who listened. My small show, even though I'm nobody, you know, nerds stick together best we can. And like I said, I hope it's not the last. I hope maybe some other inspiration comes my way, or I figure something else out. Until then, thank you. Train hard, be healthy, be kind, and yeah. Catch y'all on the flip side. This is Nicholas Anderson with the Nerds Who Live podcast.